One of them from each of those units had made a wonderful display. They had taken one of those old bed screens that have those curtains, you know, like suspended, and they had cut out, I don't know where they had gotten it, but they had cut out a silhouette of the crib scene, the Christmas crib scene, and they had positioned it in a corner, and they had put one of those old gooseneck lamps behind it, and it was beautiful. It was this wonderful silhouette scene of the cradle, of the Christmas, what do you call it, for the barn or where the Christ child was born. Uh-huh. And they had this wonderful thing, and they had done that. I was so impressed. And then the other thing I was impressed with, we had stuffed all the stockings on each of the beds. Mm-hmm. And during the Christmas time, some of the men that were in each of those beds were discharged. You know, they went back to the units, most of them. And without exception, they took one or two things out of the stockings at the end of their bed, but they left things for the next man who would come in. Isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. And most of these were youngsters. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, isn't that wonderful that they would do such a thing, you know, not take everything with them and just leave something for the next guy that comes in. Mm-hmm. I thought that was wonderful. So a lot of different things happened.
And then in your little bit of time off, did you socialize with the other nurses on your wards or with some of the other, did you kind of socialize with the other higher ranking people or with the nurses, or did it matter?
That was interesting. When I first got there, we were all distributed through all of the nurses, regardless of rank, were distributed through the hooches that were available. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed in a house with people that I had known at Letterman and a couple of people that I had met on the way over, and we got kind of close. And as they built more hooches, one of them was designated for field grade officers. And so since I was a major, I was a field grade officer, and I was supposed to move into that hooch. Well, there was only one other of the senior officers that I was at all friendly with, I'm still friendly with to this day. And a couple of the others, like some of them were acquaintances that I'm friendly with now, but not as close as I was to this other person. And so I stayed in my hooch, and finally I came back one day, and the chief nurse had had the stuff moved from where I was to the field grade hooch. So, but the thing of your working hours, I worked rotation shifts. A lot of the other field grade people did the same thing, so it wasn't a question of I socialized with the people with whom I was friendly, regardless of grade. I probably, because of age, most of my friendships were probably with captains, because they were more in my age range. Mm-hmm. And the lieutenants, you know, they were young, they don't want these old folks bothering them, so they were doing their own thing. But we had the beach, and then we finally built a little officers club where we could go over and just have a few hours off, you know, socializing. And then people from other units would come over because they liked the beach, and then they would enjoy the officers' club. So you got to meet people from other units. Mm-hmm. We were not supposed to go traipsing around the country, so we didn't do a lot of sightseeing. Mm-hmm. I think I got into Tuiwa, the town of, about twice while I was there, because it was a long drive. You had to get someone with a vehicle because we didn't have easy access to vehicles. Get someone with a vehicle and then ride along Highway 1, and there was this choke point, there was a bridge across this big river, and it, because of bombing and stuff, it could only take traffic one way at a time, so you had to wait to get across, and then you went into this. Vietnam is it's a beautiful country. If they had air conditioning over there, they would be a mecca for tourists. And it was a little town of Tuiwa, an old French colonial town, and a big market. And the size of the vegetables in that area, because they used human fertilizer. You would swear that all of the vegetables were force grown. I mean, the carrots were yay big, and the tomatoes were this big, and the pumpkins, da 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 da. The people in that area were luckier than a lot of other Vietnamese, because they had the produce of the land, which was very generous in that area. And they also were a fishing community. And the size of the fish, you would not believe. It took five of us once, could not finish one big crayfish. That's how big the stuff was. You always had to be careful, though, about cooking. There was a little French bakery someplace around, and enlisted personnel were always able to go find their French bakery and bring back the French baguettes and all that kind of stuff. So I never went to the bakery, but some of my enlisted men did. And they always brought me back a couple of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so I got into Tuiwa twice. I got down to Nha Trang once.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw Saigon.
Mm-hmm.
Got into country late one night, and as soon as they opened the door of the plane, the heat just hit you like a wet blanket. And we were on buses into a replacement depot with screens on the sides to prevent things, you know, grenades from being thrown in. So we stayed in the replacement depot for about 3 days before we went up country where our hospital was. We went up with on a plane, and we went, when we got to the airport, what airport did we go into? Cameron Bay, I think. And then the chief nurse and the commander at our hospital had arranged with one of the local helicopter units to come and take us by helicopter from Cameron Bay to our unit up near Tuiwa. So they picked us up and gave us kind of a sightseeing tour of the area before they dropped us down. And when we arrived at the unit, it was just a wonderful experience in a way, because a lot of the enlisted personnel had been there for a couple of months. They had gone over early and were building the buildings that were necessary. And mm-hmm. as they finished a building, then it would be used for whatever purpose. And that's why the nurses didn't come up for so long, because the hooches weren't there to live in, and the buildings weren't there to accept patients. And so when we first opened the hospital, we had the admissions area, we had the emergency room, we had the operative area, pre-anesthesia operative, and we had the surgical intensive, and we had the medical intensive care unit. And we continued to build the hospital as time went on.
Mm-hmm.
And as more building was done and we could accept more patients, more personnel were assigned.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the enlisted medics, for the most part, who built all of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that the engineers did was lay down the concrete pad. And once the enlisted medics saw the new, they were able to do the same thing themselves. So
mm-hmm.
the enlisted medics built the whole hospital, and as they finished one more building and could accept more patients, we would take a couple of more enlisted personnel off the building
mm-hmm.
Teams and put them into the patient care areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, the day we arrived, just as an illustration that those enlisted personnel were so wonderful for the most part, the day we arrived, we land at the local helicopter pad. They take us on trucks over to the hospital. We get off the trucks, which is a compliment of nurses. And the first thing they do is they say, "We know you were tired and we know you were hungry." So they brought us into the mess hall, and the enlisted personnel who were in the mess, assigned to the mess hall, had prepared a wonderful dinner. It was the first meal we had eaten in days, because
mm-hmm.
down at this replacement depot it was catch as catch can
mm-hmm.
in terms of any nourishment. So we had a wonderful meal, and then they brought us over to where we were going to sleep, and they had made up our cots for us. Oh, it was, I thought, the most generous gesture and the most welcome gesture. So that was a good start to our
mm-hmm.
experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And. So I don't know what the point of that whole story was, but that was the first day there, and that was the experience, and gives you a flavor of
yeah.
why I think we felt so strongly about our enlisted personnel, because
mm-hmm.
we were all very much part of a team that cared
mm-hmm.
for one another.
Uh-huh.
We had difficulties. It wasn't all perfect, but for the most part it worked well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever have problems with nightmares or flashbacks or any of those?
The only thing that I notice sometimes, not all the time,
mm-hmm.
I seem to have a very active startle reflex. Like if I'm concentrating on something,
mm-hmm.
if I'm reading or if I'm heavily into doing something and somebody comes up and starts talking to me, I'll jump a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I notice.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be because I'm hyper anyway.
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't attribute it specifically to Vietnam, but that's the only thing when I read the books and I read all these symptoms that you
right.
could have if you have this PTSD stuff, a startle reflex. But, you know,
yeah.
it could be a normal thing anyway.
Yeah. Huh. Was there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about or you thought that we would?
No, I'm not trying to think of... I'll probably think of it afterwards, as usual, you know? But no, if I see anything in the questionnaire that's not covered and I think it's particularly pertinent,
yeah.
I'll ship it
yeah.
off to you.
Yeah.
But No, we did go on missions outside. That was in, made our life a little bit less boring in terms of being in the same location the whole time. We did go on what they called MedCap missions out into the communities. We'd either go on trucks or we'd go on helicopters and provide health care outside the hospital perimeter. And I remember on Thanksgiving, when I was there on Thanksgiving, I went on a MedCap up to a special forces base someplace up in the mountains. And when we were coming back on that helicopter, we did get shot at a few times. Maybe my heart rate went up a bit then, but we were so quickly out of the range. But it was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the other med caps were very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it. Made a lot of friends while I was there, and before that when I was in basic, and since that, still friends.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like we pick up with one another after years. We pick up as though it was just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, it's not a lot of do you remember whens.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we're doing now in the recent past and what we're doing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not conscious avoidance of it. It's just that there's more to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one thing with most of the nurse officers that I've met. It's a big life out there, and you need to be fully involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole generational change now, because the young people that are coming in today have a whole new set of where their minds are at.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the group of single females and some men. It's a group of people, and nursing is one part of their lives, and they've got a whole other set of things that they're involved with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow, interesting. I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope it gives you some information.
Yeah. Well, in the interview.
I know.